Because like all other acts of worship, it is not so much about us, but it is always centered and pointed towards God. It is not a feel-good thing, even though we may feel good. Because some of the songs we sing are deep thoughts that doesn't necessarily make us feel good. In fact, sometimes it shows a wanting that we are beseeching God to help us with. What I want to do is to, analyze. I want us to stop and introspect and examine. Do we truly sing with the spirit? And I'm putting a lot of emphasis now on the understanding. All right? So it is important that we understand what we are singing. And I'm going to be picking out three songs / choruses that we often sing. And I want us to critically analyze what is it that we are saying and doing in that song. So it's almost like I'm having messages in song without asking you to choose anything. I'm selfish. All right? So, I'm going to first of all examine two songs, choruses, that we often sing, all right, as choruses surrounding Amen. Surrounding Amen, all right, one of which, and I won't sing, but I want us to think about the words. So it says, sing, Amen, Amen. Rejoice, Amen, Amen. Glory be to God. Amen, 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 Amen. All right. When the Lord shall come again, let the people sing, Amen, Amen, or Amen, Amen. When we want to make some observation, all right, before I even get too deep into the song, all right, to highlight that inspiration does tell us to sing. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So here we are seeing again the emphasis on singing or with the understanding. That's what we are taking out from this verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here's the instruction. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, we are instructed to sing. This is not strange to inspiration. So, when we echo the song, sing, Amen, Amen. We are, in fact, acknowledging some truths. And so it is appropriate for us to say, sing, because sing is an instruction from God's word. So the Bible tells us to sing. Therefore, when we say sing, we can proceed to say amen, amen. I agree we should sing. So what we are doing, probably going ahead of myself a little here now, what we are saying is that we are agreeing with inspiration that we should sing. So amen, amen naturally follows. True? So it is not so much that we are singing amen, amen, but that we are saying, I agree with Bible, I agree with inspiration that we should sing. Amen always need a context. Let me repeat that. Amen always needs a context. Why? When we say amen, it is that we are affirming something. When we say amen, it is saying that we are agreeing to something. We are giving our consent. We are saying, so let it be. So coming back now to the chorus, sing. We are saying, well, we are not going to sing and play any instrument. We recognize that singing is a part of worship and we ought to sing. So amen naturally follows. Here is another observation. Well, so sing amen, amen, or amen, amen. And it follows rejoice, amen, amen. Glory be to God. That's another statement. Does God demand our glory, our honor, our praise? Amen. Yes, He does. That's what we are affirming. When the Lord shall come again, that is also a statement that is saying that God, Jesus Christ, having come to earth and has now ascended, that He will be returning. Do I believe this to be true? Yes. Therefore, we say, amen, amen. So, in this chorus, sing. So we are actually proclaiming some truths that are centered in Bible. And so when we say, when the chorus goes sing, we are continuing to say amen, amen. So it's not so much that we are singing amen. You see the difference? It's not that we are singing amen. And somebody says, well, that's all like singing, Brother Webb. All right. So it's not so that we are singing amen, but we are saying in that, the message is, inspiration tells us to sing. We agree that we ought to sing. So we are saying, so let it be, amen. Rejoice, in a similar token, that the Bible tells us, I don't know, I've organized my lesson, but I'm just inclined to jump further. All right, also tells us that we should rejoice. Yes, all right, I'm going to come back to it later. All right, so, but here's it now. while singing amen, all right, because it always needs a context, we can actually sing out of context. Because if we are singing that we should sing amen, then what does that mean? Should we sing so let it be, so let it be? Should I sing I consent? What sense would that make to be just saying amen? Singing amen. Alright? So song number 697 in our songbook actually has another song chorus called amen. All right, we can turn to it. All right. And this song proclaims many truths that are written in the Bible. And when we look at it, it highlights that it is actually, in a sense, doing in chronological order the life of Jesus Christ. Starting from him being a baby, all right, placed in a manger, all right. So it's saying, here is some truths about Jesus Christ. He was born and he was in a manger. We can echo amen because that is truth. That we agree that this is a fact concerning Jesus Christ. While he sojourned earth, we see that he went into the temple. Remember, he went into the temple and he spoke with the teachers, the scribes. All right, and they marveled at how wise he was as a child. This was truth concerning Jesus Christ. So he lived among us and he showed interest in things spiritual. So we can say amen to this. All right. And it goes on. One of my favorite part, all right, is verse 8, where it talks about the empty tomb. All right. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. All right, so these are truths concerning Jesus Christ. So we must always place in context what we are singing. When we choose now to sing probably a portion of the song or the chorus, removing the context, then our singing, in a sense, has no meaning. What do you mean, Brother Webb? Well, if we choose to sing that same chorus, amen, 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 amen. You know, it more goes like, amen, amen, and we can't, all right? Then if we move on from that, and after saying amen some 5 times, we move on to say, sing a little louder. I would say amen, amen, amen. Sing a little louder. Then sing a little softer. Amen, amen. So let it be, so let it be. I consent, I am in agreement. To what? What's the context? Let the men sing. Amen, amen. All right? Unless you are saying men must sing and women must sing. But what are you agreeing to? What are you consenting to? So we now must be careful when we sing and that's all we sing, then what are we singing understanding? So as we have it in the book, it's wonderful. But if we are singing choruses and that's all we sing, amen, 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 sing a little louder, sing a little softer, let us all sing, amen, all right, then we have to question now the appropriateness, all right? So if it is that some statements are made and then we proceed to say amen in a chorus, then that puts some context. But we can't just be singing amen in a vacuum. It must have a context. So as it is spelled out on Psalm 697, all right, then, you know, Jesus was in a manger. You know, he had a lowly birth. All right? And we are agreeing that that is the case concerning Jesus. And that makes sense. I think there's a version of it, you know, he rose on Sunday morning. It's not in the book like that. But I think I've heard a version of that. Then that, too, is appropriate. So we have made some observation. We are instructed to sing. Amen always needs a context. All right. We can, however, sing out of context and then it becomes inappropriate and wrong. We have also seen, we are covering good track, we have also seen that when we, going back to the original, sing amen, amen, rejoice, amen, amen. All right. The sing amen, 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 is quite appropriate because we are in an era where it is common to sing and play. So to say sing, and that's what we ought to do, but the Bible does instruct us, we share a couple of passages, that we should sing. Sing versus sing and play. Sing versus sing and clap. All right, God expects us to make the melody in our hearts, in our minds. Okay, all right, sort of summing up that as again, it is not when the Lord comes that we will sing amen, but it is that we agree that the Lord will come again. Therefore, we are singing amen. And of course, I made reference to the chorus. Sing amen, amen, rejoice amen, amen. If we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, it tells us that we should rejoice always. So does Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. So Christians should live a life of rejoicing. So that's an appropriate song for us to sing. All right? But we have to understand how we are saying it. You know, one person said, it's important to punctuate properly. All right? I've used this illustration in another way. You know, the statement consisting of these three words, I, love, and you. Depending on how we say it and punctuate it and how we say it gives different meanings. You know, I love you. As opposed to, I love you. All right, and this is the one I like when I was doing communication and the teacher used that. Using the same words, I love you. See the difference? So in one case, I love you is echoing a sentiment, an affectionate sentiment. But then, I love you. Is that showing affection? No. So when we sing, how we sing and how we process should be of such that we sing understanding what we are saying. All right. So, boy, Brother Webb, why you come with these complications? We can't just sing and feel nice, you know, and feel good about it. The Bible tells us that we must also sing with the understanding. All right. Let me look at another one. Kumbaya. Is that English? Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. The Bible does instruct us in respect to speaking in tongues. Is that English? Kumbaya. So we are instructed that if one is to speak in tongues, then it's important that there is an interpreter. So if kumbaya is not an English word, and we come and we sing kumbaya, what does that mean? It's going to be important that some type of interpretation is done if we are going to use that, all right? Okay, so this in our songbook is 689. All right, 689. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Oh Lord, kumbaya. When this is sung, you can get goose pimples. All right, it has in its roots some real Negro spiritual thing to it, and you can get goose pimples if that is sung, you know, in a particular way. But if kumbaya is sung or sung, and we don't know what kumbaya is, then what are we saying? Are we singing with the understanding? All right, so fortunately for us, verse 6 says, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. All right, so it's giving us a type of interpretation. So if we sang it in its entirety, or if we sang with the understanding of verse 6, then at least there would be some understanding of what we are saying in kumbaya. Oftentimes, however, we sing the chorus, kumbaya, by repeating stanza 1, 3, or 4 times. So what does that mean to those of us who are singing, to those who are hearing the singing? Does it make sense? So the suggestion is that if we are going to sing kumbaya, and we are not going to explain that kumbaya means come by here, then if we are not going to sing verse 6, then we should at least say what it means, so that there's understanding in terms of what we are singing. Because it becomes just an emotional emotional feel to be then saying someone's crying kumbaya, somebody is singing kumbaya. All right, so we need to have the understanding. It's interesting, I did some research, and it appears that the word kumbaya is broken up into three Hebrew words. All right, so there is a word in Hebrew. All right, remember that the Old Testament is pretty much written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, all right, Aramaic Greek. Where kum means rise or stand up. Ba means to come. And ya is a shortened form of God. All right, Yahweh. All right. So there seem to be some Hebrew root to kumbaya. But at the same time, it does not naturally translate into come by here. But it would not be a big stretch to get the idea of it being come by here. And since it's talking about God, then to invite God in our presence. So it does make sense if we process it that way. All right. However, other research shows that it actually had its origin in African American spiritual song, all right, where from North Carolina in early 1900s, all right, and it was sort of a plea for divine intervention for God to come and help people in need. So it was in the whole slavery movement that it got that popularity or came into being. All right. So the point is, kumbaya, elements of it can be traced back to Hebrew. All right. So probably that's the person who came up with it, found these different Hebrew words and lined it up. All right. Okay. So it is really, it's sort of like a Creole English, according to the literature. All right. So kumbaya is not something that we really see in Bible. All right. But the idea that whatever our challenges are, we want to invite God to come by and help is appropriate. All right. But certainly to sing kumbaya without an explanation of what it means would be quite out of order. Would be a song without understanding. All right? So so that's the second song, all right, that I want to draw attention to. All right. The third and last, hush. Hush. So it goes, hush. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. Hush. Hush. Somebody calling my name. Hush. Hush. Somebody calling my name. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what shall I do? A very popular chorus. What does that mean? I have sung this chorus, you know. All right. And I'm going to tell you, I have to think deep. So what I normally do is relate this to Samuel. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So what was happening here? God was calling to young Samuel. But every time he heard the call, he thought it was the priest, Eli, who was his guardian, who was growing him and mentoring him in the way of the Lord. So every time he heard the call, he went to Eli and said, Yes, you called. You know, so Eli realized he didn't call him. You know, for us today, you know, I say we a dopey. You know, but Eli perceived, verse 8, that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. So, is it that Samuel was quiet and listened for the word of the Lord as God called him? That's how I personally have processed the hush. But it's a hard process. I can't see. All right. So I think this too is a chorus, a song, that it would do well for it to be placed in a context. If it is framed in such a context that just as Samuel quietly listened, didn't allow himself to be distracted, and recognize the word, the call of God, so too we should listen to the word of God, or to the call of God. Of course, God does not call us in dreams. He speaks to us through his word. And as Christians, we have the Spirit to help us to understand the word. So, we should process and understand what we are singing. So how do we treat hush? Hush, O glory. Hush, hallelujah. Somebody's calling my name. Hush, O glory. Hush, hallelujah. Somebody's calling my name. O my Lord, what shall I do? If we are going to sing this, we must frame it in a context so that we can sing it with spirit and with the understanding. Because God does expect that as we sing, there should be some meaning and understanding that is coming out of what we are singing. Let us sing with the spirit and with the understanding also.